You have found Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggles, stories, and of course, triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Past episodes of the Authentic Business Adventures program can be found on the podcast link at drawincustomers.com. We are coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Radio Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kademan, business coach at Draw In Customers Business Coaching, co-owner of Calls on Call Shared Receptionist Service, and author of the Bold Business Book, available on Amazon. I just felt like giving you guys my entire resume there. I also graduated in Eau Claire. Today we are welcoming slash preparing to learn from Mike Braun of Braun Painting. Mike, how are you feeling today?
I'm really, really good.
That is awesome. So Braun Painting, I'm going to guess that you paint.
That's correct.
Awesome. Why don't you tell us what you paint and why you paint it?
We do interior and exterior, commercial and gosh, this sounds like an elevator pitch.
I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay. We do inside outside painting, commercial, residential, and a lot of ongoing maintenance painting.
Gotcha. Okay. Maintenance painting. What is that now?
Commercial spaces, hotels, apartments, things like that, where we've got regularly occurring surfaces that need to get repainted over and over.
Gotcha. People punching through the walls or kids' sticky hands kind of stuff?
All of the above, yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, I guess speaking of punching through walls, you get into drywall repair and all that jazz?
Anything ancillary to getting a finish coat on walls, we do. So, if it's a hole in a wall, a lot of times in condo communities, you get, you know, a 4-foot by 4-foot section where the toilet above them leaked through. So, any stuff like that, fixing those surfaces, doing the mud work, texturing, all that good business to get to painted, we do.
Nice. All right. And how long have you been in business?
About 2007, there was kind of a transition where I was doing this part-time and doing another full-time career, and then by the end of 2007, we were exclusively a painting business.
So right in the front of the
when everything was awful, that's when we got started.
You're like, hey, it's a great time to start a business.
Let's do it.
Advertising was cheap.
Yeah.
So what made you decide to get into the painting business versus anything else?
Painting is something that I had done in high school.
Okay.
A friend of mine was working for a painting company and asked his boss, hey, I got another guy.
Yeah.
So I was in high school getting driven around by my mom, and then eventually I got my license, and I was showing up painting for, I think it was $6 or $7 an hour cash.
Oh, nice.
And did that every summer, and into college did some stuff for landlords, things like that. And
okay.
I guess the framing is, even in, you know, 7th, 8th grade, I was in the neighborhoods putting flyers up, like, I'll move your rocks, I'll mow your lawn, I'll paint stuff. And the first time I ever painted was someone whose lawn I was mowing. He said, you know how to paint? And I said, yep. And I'd never done it before, but worked my way through that. And so I've always kind of been that type.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
We don't see kids like that anymore.
No. Well, maybe. I don't know. Hopefully so.
No, at least not in my neighborhood. In my neighborhood, I'm surprised now that school's starting, there's kids at the bus stop.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you just do not see them. They're hiding inside their house or at their friend's house or something like that. They're not outside playing or mowing lawns or anything like that.
If the kid's out on the street riding their bikes, and when it gets dark, come home.
It's
maybe
that's
not
rare.
So prevalent anymore.
That's rare. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe just too many white vans rolling around or something.
Could be.
Like
who
that.
Knows?
Who knows?
Or iPads.
Could be. There's that too, right?
A lot of tablets inside
digital
the house.
Age, yeah.
Yeah.
That's too bad. Because then you wonder, are those kids ever going to really start their business? If they've never had to actually sell or go door to door or anything like that?
I think at the very minimum, they have a tough time looking people in the eye and having a conversation.
That's totally fair. Extremely fair. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is unfortunate.
It is.
Yeah.
The good news is they can work for people like us. So it's presumably, maybe that's a bigger presumption than
maybe.
I could really
Who
take
knows?
On. So speaking of employees though, do you have employees?
We have, so we're a family business. We currently have, we're a staff of 26.
Oh, wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're a healthy sized business.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
So since 2007, was it pretty steady growth or was there a big bump? Or?
So the deal was when going back to 07, I was doing a sales job.
Sure.
And kind of doing painting on the side. And when we decided to go full on with the family painting business, I basically said to my wife, I don't want to be, you know, 60 years old and still wielding a brush.
Sure.
But, so I started as what I refer to as like kind of a chuck in a truck. And I don't mean it derogatory, but there's a lot of painters out there that are painters that it's them in a truck and maybe someone who helps them, and that's their business and they like that and they have full control and that's great. Right out of the gates, our goal was I will probably paint by myself for 2 to 3 years, start to build a little bit of a base, start to build some customers, and then we will hire on people.
Sure.
And within the second year or so, I had a couple of people, and we kind of struggled our way through what it meant to have employees and how to set that all up and how to have that functionally work and sort of build a good foundation for being able to build a business as we go. But the whole goal was to have a family-owned business where my wife could be home with the kids, because that was our goal. And we got there kind of within a couple, 2-3 years. Now, it wasn't pretty, and it didn't go really smooth, and we didn't know what we were doing, but we were there. And then we kind of had to reassess and say, what do we want to do? But it was easily within a year and a half or so, we already had employees, and we were kind of ahead of where we thought we were
going to
be.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So did you ever have a business before where you had employees, or were you ever managing employees or something of that nature?
No, but out of college, I was kind of like a sales and marketing consultant for a company. And really, they just had me as a subcontractor, but I was an employee there.
Gotcha.
Okay. And then I worked for a company in Atlanta, Tulsa-based Quick Trip Corporation.
Okay.
And that's kind of where I learned how to manage people. That's the reason I bring this up. So I had worked my way from, you know, a clerk to managing a store in the Atlanta division, and I was like the second fastest
get
to that spot.
Okay.
But all of the management tools I've picked up when it comes to training and discipline and running people, from establishing competency to issues with commitment and dismissals and things like that.
Sure.
That was a fabulous company to experience all that stuff with.
Nice.
And they let you make a lot of mistakes and then move to the next and move to the next. And you'd get new faces every time to make new mistakes. So that's where I kind of learned to manage people. So it was really, really helpful.
That's hugely helpful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wish I had that before I started my business.
It was fantastic.
Sure.
It wasn't a cure-all, but it helped me learn how to manage people for sure.
No, and there's definitely something to be said for experience, right? Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily something you can learn in a classroom.
Right, and it was free for me.
Sure, so that's awesome.
Cool.
You actually got paid for it, right?
Exactly right.
That's
yeah.
very cool.
It was neat.
So when you started your painting business, was the intention to start a business, and painting just happened to be something that you said, hey, I've done this before, let's make some money at that?
Painting was the thing that I knew.
Okay.
And in 07, case in point, I was in a business partnership with my brother.
Okay.
And we were developing some real estate in the Milwaukee area.
Okay.
And all of the financial stuff that happened affected that. Where we'd gone from life is really good and I'm in my, you know, mid-late 20s and look at what we've achieved to, gosh, what are we going to do for cash flow? So I took this job doing sales, which was by all measures a fabulous job.
Mm-hmm.
3-4 months in, I'm still doing painting jobs on the side on the weekend because I'd started that momentum.
Sure.
But this felt safe and secure, and it had a 401k, and I had a computer and a car, and and my boss was patting me on the shoulder saying, you're crushing it. You're doing better than the person that was here for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
You have a real future here.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, I'm miserable and I don't like this. I'm out of here.
So long.
And I'm going to go start a painting business. And he said, you're absolutely crazy, but good luck.
All right.
So that was it. And then we started the business out of necessity.
Sure.
And it was every job I could get, I'll get. And I remember I needed 3,500 and some odd dollars, and I needed it in 3.5 weeks. And I went to Craigslist and I got a stranger to give me that money to paint. And it's just been that way ever since.
Nice. So 3,500 for mortgage or whatever.
Mortgage expenses, all that different kind of stuff.
Okay, sure. Mm-hmm. Nice. So you started essentially from the ground up.
Yeah.
Had the equipment and stuff like that, had the know-how.
Well, the really cool thing for me at the time was you need a brush and a roller and a stepladder, and there's very, very minimal barrier to entry for creating a what we'll call, and I'm doing air quotes, a painting company.
Sure. Which is why there's probably quite a few of them.
Right, but I would argue there's a big difference between an organization and a painter.
I would
and a
support painting that company. Argument.
And there's a lot of different metrics and variables involved in whether you're running a business or you're actually kind of working to pay yourself.
Sure, totally. I talk about that in the Bold Business book, about the being an owner of a company versus just being self-employed.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you own your job, which is probably got terrible pay with it.
Right.
No benefits and insurance or something you hope your spouse brings you.
Yeah. Yep.
That's crazy. So then tell me about your first hires. When you decided, at what point did you decide, hey, it's time to bring on some people?
The first time I decided it was time to bring on people, that was really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
I did what had worked for me in the past, which I'm just going to say right now I would never do again.
Okay.
But I kind of put an ad out there on Craigslist and said, I'm looking for painters. And of course, at that time, and I didn't even have I didn't understand how bad the market was.
Sure.
But at that time,
I don't think a lot of people did back then. Right. We can say, oh yeah, look at that now, but back then,
exactly.
No.
So I'm getting a few jobs, piecing them together. Things are, I'm starting to get some momentum, creating a couple relationships that were really integral in our early growth.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Craigslist, and in 2007, when you put a Craigslist ad out, said I'm looking for someone who knows how to paint, you get like 25 people would respond.
Sure.
So I talked to one or two of them because I needed somebody starting tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how it started at first. And,
nice.
And with one or two employees, there's a lot of liberties with how you can treat people. There's just a lot more life.
Sure.
Head trash that you get to know about these people. And
sure.
You're kind of serving them as much as having them help you.
Absolutely.
Because you want them to be stable and helpful in mm-hmm. your vision. And our practices are a lot different now. But that's
sure.
kind of how it started.
Well, you lose one employee when you only have one or two, and all of a sudden that's either 50% or 33% of your entire workforce.
Exactly right. And I didn't even look at it that way then. I just knew I had a certain amount of work to get done, and I wanted to get it done.
Sure.
But I had a great person that had a lot of experience.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up hiring his son. I ended up hiring his daughter.
Oh, wow.
They worked together kind of as a family on different job sites for a while. He transitioned off to something that was better for him, and that's great.
Sure.
Yeah, and then we just kind of learned how to have a little bit better hiring practices.
That's awesome. So then over the course of time, then I imagine you get big enough where you have to start dealing with more of a business where it's not so much you guys rubbing shoulders with each other.
Right.
That you get a volume of people where you just can't. It's no longer a family, it's a team kind of thing.
Exactly right. We still are a family.
Sure.
And we still, we're a really good, diverse family of people. We work as teams, but we do as our culture. We refer to ourselves as family.
Okay.
But within that, there has to be expectations in, you know, when you have 16, 18, 19 people out in the field.
Right.
You can't have one person consistently, chronically showing up late and then terminate someone else for being late. It's about you have to have some HR practices now,
mm-hmm.
and you need to walk along and identify things when they come up that could become a thing in the future.
Sure.
And we want to start that dialogue so that we can shape that behavior mm-hmm. and get it to where it needs to be.
Sure.
So you can't do this he said, she said with employees and then go create some kind of consequence. It's about being very consistent, and
mm-hmm.
all the legal issues with wrongful terminations, things like that, just gets a lot more involved, and you need to be aware of
sure
how to approach all that stuff.
Sure. So most of that did you learn, or did you have employee manuals and stuff like that from the start where you knew what to do?
I have. I've always thought that if you find somebody that's already done what you're trying to do,
mm-hmm.
they can expedite your learning curve big time.
Huge.
And I've got just a tremendous amount of really good friends,
mm-hmm.
One of which was a labor law attorney.
Okay.
And I can ask kind of advice or what
sure.
do you think about this,
mm-hmm.
As well as us just doing research.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife does a little bit of stuff. We were so typical. It was my wife does the books.
Sure.
And I go out and do the work.
We never hear that.
Right. Ever.
Never.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, just case in point. Wives don't love doing the books,
no,
I don't think.
No. My parents got divorced, and I think that was
right.
a good solid,
yeah.
at least, nozzle in that
right.
hose down.
Right. Well, I mean, it's she does a little bit of stuff, and her background is public relations with some really fabulous companies. So her ability to communicate and come up with ideas about how we present ourselves in the marketplace in a consistent way, and she's really, really smart about that and a really good communicator. But she does do some stuff that I'll say is well below her pay grade at the moment, and that'll probably change as the business continues
sure.
to scale.
Sure.
But she's involved in some of that stuff and
mm-hmm.
has done a little bit of the research in the HR, so she kind of performs that function. Someone does all of our payroll and all that stuff, but we still do the research when we have a circumstance that may come up that we need to do our research and proceed in a certain way.
Sure, sure. That makes sense. What have been some of the challenges that you've dealt with that you maybe didn't foresee coming in regards to employees specifically? Has it been the typical stuff like no call, no show kind of stuff, or is it anything worse than that?
I feel like as an employer in our industry, and I don't mean this to sound derogatory in any way, because
mm-hmm.
all of our painters are wonderful professionals.
Mm-hmm.
They're all in process, improving every single day, and we try to paint a vision of this trade that, and I don't want to digress, but we paint a vision of this trade that we are trying to stand like a light that does it different
sure.
and set apart. So if you create a vertical column of the biggest companies that come to your mind on
mm-hmm.
you know, radio or media, and then the owner operator at the bottom,
mm-hmm.
we've always wondered where we are in the middle.
Sure.
And now the way we put it is we're off to the side, completely set apart and different.
Uh-huh.
That's who
okay.
we are, and that's how we want to be.
Sure.
That being said, our industry has a reputation, like a lot of trades do, that, mm-hmm. that the no call, no shows and the discipline and training and, mm-hmm. and the head trash that people might bring or the drama that people bring to the job. Of course you have some of that and you have mm-hmm. to deal with it. Some of those challenges, again, yeah, tardiness, absenteeism, are their ability to show up for our customers who need to show up for their work and their boss and make arrangements for their kids. And so mm-hmm. all of these things are a customer service issue that we're kind of really, really clear up front that if it's the type of thing where you might come in some days, you might not come in other days, things like that, it's just not going to work. So we try to present a culture of quality and who we are, and mm-hmm. people tend to say, this is exactly what I've been looking for. I'm in.
Sure.
This feels really good. And mm-hmm. this is more organized than where I was.
Mm-hmm.
Or they go, I am not going to get up to that bar to step over it. I'm gone.
Sure.
And so it actually is really helpful if you can present. Right. If you can present who you are, it's really, really helpful for people to decide, that's not me. I'm out of here.
Sure.
And then you don't have somebody for 3-4 months that just slowly kind of tapers off. And then you have issues.
Gotcha. They think you're just another painting company or something exactly like that. Right. And they can get away with this other stuff before.
Right.
They're just job hopping or something like that.
So you'll have somebody who comes in and they'll be, you know, oh, something shiny over here. I've been here a month, but there's another dollar an hour over there.
Right.
Our sort of what we drip on people and what our message is plant some roots.
Mm-hmm.
We will pour into you the skills, the training, all that. And then be here a while, and then you can really, really have a good career out of this.
Sure.
And so some of that, I am not a life coach, but some of that is coaching those employees, those part-time employees or the full-time mm-hmm. employees who have been thrown around just chasing $12 an hour for mm-hmm. years to mm-hmm. say, it doesn't have to be that way for you. That doesn't have to be your story. There's this area here where you can grow and flourish and actually be proud of who you are, not mm-hmm. just be making money, but be part of an organization that will lift you up and actually allow you to flourish in a way that you've probably not envisioned for yourself as a quote-unquote painter.
Right. I talked to my crew about that in, well, I guess even especially in the interview when we're interviewing people.
Mm-hmm.
This is your last job when you're on your way to work, whether you took a bus or drove there or bike there. Were you feeling like this is a good thing that I'm on my way to? Or are you looking like, oh, the next 8 hours are just going to be not so fun?
Yeah.
And we're trying to do everything we can with our business to make it so that it is an enjoyable piece.
Yeah.
It's not going to be sitting on a beach in Florida or something like that.
No, but you
like
even
that,
get sick of that after a week reading a book.
I could get sick of that in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But it's just the nature. I guess some people have this, I shouldn't say some people, it's kind of society as a whole, mm-hmm. has this whole work equals bad, mm-hmm. everything else is good, and that's not always the case.
Right.
So, I mean, if you do what you can to make it a nice work environment as mm-hmm. best you can, people should stay if they understand what you're trying to do.
Right. At the end of the day, I mean, we're painting and there are days that are tough and there are clients and customers who sometimes can be challenging,
mm-hmm.
but that's an opportunity for them to grow in how they interact with people. It's not, I don't know. I walk into the paint store sometimes and you see other painters walk into there and it's like, that's their 10 minutes to get out of the war zone.
Sure.
That they're begrudgingly submitting to.
Mm-hmm.
They're picking up a gallon of paint and now it's like they're going back to the war,
just
misery, you know. Sure. And our people come in and they're happy to be there. And
mm-hmm.
like I said, we the way we do it, we try to be set apart and do mm-hmm. it different.
So why don't you tell us about that a little bit? When you set off to the side, what differentiates you?
So you talking like mission and vision?
Yeah, sure. You tell me. I guess when you're not in that vertical, you're off to the side. Yeah. I guess define that for me.
So what we've kind of come to realize at the size that we are, and we're mm-hmm. sort of on a momentum path to get bigger, but you know, the table stakes is the quality paint job.
Mm-hmm.
And we already, I know that we already do very, very good work.
Okay.
It's the extra 5% that a lot of our clients really appreciate. And it might be 80% of people look at the average paint job and go, okay, that was red, it's blue now, the lines are pretty clean.
Sure.
Good.
Right.
The type of clientele that we service a lot, that extra 5% is important,
mm-hmm.
and they will pay for it, and mm-hmm. not very many people can get it there.
Sure.
And so we can. So on the quality side, quality is table stakes. We do high-quality work, but we still know that 50% of that experience is not the paint job. It's who was in my house, how did I dialogue with them, how did it feel?
Mm-hmm.
Did I feel like these three people that were in my home were having a good time and enjoyed themselves, and mm-hmm. was the air light?
Mm-hmm.
Or were these two people at odds with each other and there was a funk in the air and it was uncomfortable and awkward for me as the homeowner?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to let us into your home is like the most intimate place
huge trust issue.
Your kids' bedrooms. You're having a baby, and you're now painting this brand new room that is part of a story that clients and customers are telling themselves about the life that they're realizing for themselves. Right. And we are part of that. Mm-hmm. So painting the walls from blue to red is great, but to somehow have that whole process feel fantastic from beginning to end, from initial appointment to when I got the invoice, was everything correct?
Right.
Did I have to go back and forth with someone 10 times because there was a $20 issue?
Mm-hmm.
Now this thing that was fabulous for 99.9% of the experience, I'm remembering that last 2 days where they just couldn't get the billing right, and oh my gosh, this company. So it's about the entire process from beginning to end, and the experience of everyone you experience from your initial appointment to who receives, you know, who you dialogue with when you talk with us to set up an appointment, to getting a bill that's super easy to pay right online and having the whole process be easy.
Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah. That's essentially sounds, without sounding too complimentary, it sounds like you're kind of a unicorn in the construction industry. I deal with a lot of people in the construction industry. I used to drive a concrete truck way back when, so I dealt with them. And just the mindset that a lot of construction companies have, whether they're owners or employees, was there's a funk in the air, man.
Yeah.
People were just not happy, especially concrete people.
Right.
I get that because it's heavy and it's annoying.
Yeah, whatever. And tight schedules.
Yeah, and they were just, when someone would call them and leave a message, I'm not calling them back because I'm busy kind of thing. Or they'd answer their phone saying, hey.
Right.
Right, like, how'd you get this number kind of
thing. Right, exactly, yep.
The employees were crabby. They're showing up in beat up rusty trucks. Like, they didn't care about their business.
Right.
Like, if you're just going to treat it like that, just be an employee for someone else.
Yeah.
Why would you work so hard to be annoying?
Yeah. Right.
So it's frustrating. So it's good to hear you that you're taking that customer service aspect, which from my point of view is probably 80% of the job. Because realistically, most people could probably paint their own wall. They're like me, they do a bad job, right? At least wherever corners meet.
Right.
I can paint the center section just beautifully,
So what we say is anyone can roll a wall, but a paint job is only as good as the edges.
Yeah, that's it. That's it, right? Yeah. You can totally tell when someone like me has been in there.
We don't judge, though. We're just here to help.
That's
that's true. Funny. That's what I tell people.
That's why my wife and I, that's why we hire pros. Because I'm like, no. I'm not getting in there. I've seen painters do amazing things where I would be trying to use frog tape or blue tape or something like that. Yep. Still end up with a mess. They're doing it by hand about 20 times as fast as I did the wall.
Right.
And like, how did you get the line so straight? And why aren't you pinstriping cars or something?
Because we do it every day.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So that's great to hear. And then that gives some buy-in from your employees as well, because they can see what the standard is.
Right. It's, I'll say this much. We have a process, and I think our process is probably, if you compare us to the rest of our industry, which is albeit extremely fragmented, like I said, from big companies to owner-operators that are just trying to keep up with a text conversation here, and an email string here, and a phone call here. I mean, just like where all that info lands and how they organize that.
I've a lot been of cracks. That stuff is falling beyond too. Me.
Yep.
Yeah.
If I still tried to do it that way, where it was me and, you know, 15 painters, I think I'd have had a stroke by now.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
But
it's not. We're not perfect.
Sure.
But we're, you know, as long as we're, happiness is an improvement, right? So as long as we're improving, we're going the right direction and we're trending up into the right. So new mistakes are okay.
Sure.
And try to learn from the ones that we've already made.
No, to say that there's not going to be any mistakes at all, it's not realistic at all. Perfection would be great, but in the end, you're dealing with humans.
Exactly right.
So that's stuff you can control and stuff you can't. So that's totally understandable.
Yep.
But the fact that you're just aware of it and that you got systems in place to make sure it happens as best you can.
Right.
That, I mean, you're probably better than 99% of your competitors.
Well, for the experience piece, you have projects that are completely dependent on something that nobody can control. For example, all the rain we've been having.
Yeah.
You could have a queue of exterior jobs. You could have it pipelined. You can be accounting for 7% of attendance to slide on either being late or sick, or my child is sick, and there's just life happening with the human beings that are doing the work for us. And that's all okay, but to be able to plan for that and be in a situation where people are being heard from, if you give somebody a reason to understand, most will understand.
Sure.
I don't know if you noticed, but it's been raining for 3 days. So we lost 400 hours of productivity over the past 3 days, so we're going to be starting your job about 5 days late. Okay, well, that actually makes sense. And I know you can't paint in the rain. So, right. And I know there were people before me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the lion's share of people, if you give them a reason. But again, it's all right. Part of the process flow, being in touch and constantly, instead of somebody saying, hey, what's going on? Hey, what's going on? We're sure. saying, you may or may not have noticed, but here's what's going on, and preempting that communication line and having people
really
know.
That's the thing,
know.
As long as you have communication, right?
Correct.
So as long as you're letting the customer know.
Yep.
Which that, again, you're ahead of 99% of them.
It's gold as long as they know where they stand. Mm-hmm. And if it's like I tell my scheduling coordinator, I say, people are not unreasonable. Mm-hmm. We're not consistent, right?
Sure.
So, and I think that's, that's it. Mm-hmm. And I know that I have to give credit where credit is due, because that's not my own phrase, but I know you've interviewed AJ Sue on here before, and that was
a month ago, yep. Something like that. Yeah, yeah.
So that was we do coaching with him, and that was one of his major, mm-hmm. That was kind of a message probably several years back that that he had brought up and mentioned, and I've kind of taken that and run with it because it actually works. So
sure.
People aren't fickle. We're just inconsistent. If someone says, I don't understand, it means we haven't been clear.
Mm-hmm.
And even though that's not fair 100% of the time, it's a good metric to stick with.
Absolutely. Yeah, we with calls on call, we run into communication challenges, we'll call
sure.
it.
Sure, yep.
Where it may not be our fault, but I would say a lot of the times we end just taking the fall for it, because it's not worth going down whose fault is this kind of thing.
Right.
No good can come from that.
That never goes well.
So just like, yeah, totally us. Mm-hmm. Totally us. We'll suck this up, move on, fix it, and go about our business, I guess. So. Unless somebody leaves a bad review for a mistake that they made, then it's frustrating.
Oh, my gosh. That whole thing, too. I mean, I've experienced that kind of stuff, too. But by and large, I would say at this point, our reputation in media and stuff is really, really good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But it's, you know, you have, as a contractor, you can sit and say it's pretty unfair for someone to have a completely anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to sound sour about this, so this is all I'll say.
No, it's a safe place. You can totally sound sour.
For somebody to have a complete anonymous soapbox on which to be able to say whatever they want.
Right.
With no repercussions whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Feels a little bit unfair if there's information that they're lacking to actually understand why something is or isn't the way that it is.
Right. Yeah, totally agree. Totally agree. We've looked at reviews to try to hunt down people for calls on call.
Really?
Because sometimes people will leave a review that said they never called back.
Right.
So they'll leave a 1-star review when they never actually did any business with them. But then on the flip side, the business never gave them a chance to do business.
Right.
The person tried to reach out.
You'd think there'd be more leverage on the work that's completed versus the experience if work was never even done.
That's the thing, though, right? When people are happy, they kind of expect that. Mm-hmm. But when they're upset, then they feel like the whole world should know that you messed up, right?
Right.
So, yeah, it's a very large soapbox. Mm-hmm. Disproportional.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know how to fix that.
For me, it's because there's one bad review. And I remember it's on Yelp. And it says, can you give a negative review? Never even showed up for the appointment.
Okay.
So I'll make the story fast.
Sure.
This was like a year or 2 years into my business.
Okay.
And the potential client was in Lodi.
Okay.
And my son, we needed to take him to the ER to get an EpiNeb because he had croup.
Uh-huh.
And he was our firstborn.
Okay.
He was really young.
Sure.
And when your son's going to breathe, it turns out he's at 99.99% oxygen, but for a new parent,
sure,
this makes you panic.
Yep.
So we're in there. I missed the appointment. I didn't call her. Okay, fairness.
Sure.
I'm on my way to the ER with my son.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't call her and say, hey, I'm going to be late for our appointment, or can we reschedule?
Mm-hmm.
But I went to the appointment.
Mm-hmm.
25 minutes after I was supposed to be there at the appointment, she had already left that Yelp review.
Wow.
As I'm walking out of the ER, I shoot a note.
Sure.
Hey, sorry, this is what happened. Crickets, no response.
Sure.
And that review's already up there.
Wow.
So then I send another note. Oh my gosh, I saw your Yelp review.
Right.
This is the story. This is what happened. I'm more than happy to set something up. Crickets. That, to me, isn't fair.
Okay.
Because they
didn't give you the opportunity to make it right.
Well, not only that, but I would feel like a visit to the ER is extenuating circumstances enough to have a little bit of grace.
Right.
In saying, okay, maybe I can give him another try.
Right. That's fair.
But whatever. We are, you know, we have good reviews on Yelp and stuff like that now. So, and that's okay. She, you know.
And now if something like that were to happen again, hopefully it doesn't, but just in case, you have enough employees and all that kind of stuff where it's not an issue.
Right.
Which is another argument for owning a business versus owning a job. Because owning a job, you'd be running that for the next 30 years.
Yeah.
And having struggles like that.
Yeah. And fair enough to me to learn that lesson, mm-hmm. to say when stuff comes up, you have to just really make sure. And that goes for appointments too. If mm-hmm. my rule is if I'm more than single digits late, mm-hmm. I'm calling them to let them know, hey, I'm running a couple minutes late. I really apologize and don't want to disrespect your time in any way. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be there at such and such and I'm on my way.
Sure.
If that disrupts your schedule and you want to reschedule, mm-hmm. we can do that now. Otherwise, I'll see you in a few minutes.
Sure.
And that goes great every time, mm-hmm. because you're just saying, here's kind of what's going on.
Right.
And 9 out of 10 times I'm right on time or early anyway.
Yeah.
But the stuff comes up. You have a day full of appointments and mm-hmm. someone really wants to chat and you don't want to be rude or, you know. People have stuff going on in their lives, and sometimes it's hard to say, okay, well, this was really nice. I'm gonna go now.
Right.
You know, when they're telling you kind of like their life story or they're helping paint a vision of the part of the story that you're participating in mm-hmm. their life, like that's authentic stuff, and we need to be authentic back.
Right.
And that's kind of what I enjoy most about what I do now, because I'm not painting. I just feel like I'm building community every single day.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Right. You have to.
It's awesome. Right. And it's really, really rewarding.
Mm-hmm. That's the cost of interruption, right? Nobody pops into your office and says, hey, how much time do you have for me to tell you the story?
Right, exactly.
I got 2 minutes, 30 seconds, go.
Right. Yeah, I mean, some appointments, I learn somebody's story. I pet their dog. We mm-hmm. talk about almost everything but paint. Paint's mm-hmm. the last thing, the last 5 minutes, but that's all it takes.
Sure. Well, the assumption is that you know what you're doing and they just need to pick a color, right? So
if I can establish that I'm their expert and they can trust me to be that way, it eliminates a lot of the details. Mm-hmm. And it's really just about, are we clicking and do we have trust and are you feeling good about this potential relationship or mm-hmm. not? And that's, they establish that and I establish that.
Sure. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So let's shift into marketing a little bit, mm-hmm. if you don't mind.
Sure.
2007, you start going, it's you. Now we're 2018, so 11 years later.
Yeah.
You got 26 employees, is that what you said?
Including managers and scheduling coordinator.
Sure,
and,
okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you've grown, mm-hmm. is this safe to say?
Yeah.
So what was the secret sauce in regards to marketing and all that jazz?
This was all word of mouth.
Okay. All word of mouth. Mm-hmm. Entirely.
Yep.
Wow.
Every now and again, we would do like, you have the Sun Prairie football schedule and you've got sponsors on the side of it in your studio here.
Mm-hmm.
We would do stuff like that. There's no way to measure whether that works.
No.
We would do stuff like that. We're more participatory in community stuff than paying for advertising.
Okay. Community stuff. Can you give me an example?
So we've sponsored different things, like a golf outing for a friend of mine for his son's got Sturge Weber disease. So he has a golf outing every year. And we'd sponsor a hole there.
Sure.
We do a lot of silent auction items.
Okay.
My wife is involved in Junior League of Madison.
Sure.
And so this is a women's community that goes out and just does all kinds of fabulous things in the community. And so mm-hmm. a lot of the things that they support financially, we would contribute silent auction items, things like that, like two free rooms, labor and paint included by Braun Painting. Here you go. That kind of thing.
Okay.
So we've done a lot of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. A little bit of Facebook presence. We have a page. We have a website. I think a lot of our success was early on, 07, 08, 09, was mm-hmm. having some pretty good SEO.
Okay.
Like really findable.
Sure.
But in terms of spending advertising dollars, mm-hmm. Not much on the advertising side.
Gotcha.
In terms of marketing and reach, like just a lot of word of mouth stuff.
Sure.
And some community participation stuff.
Okay.
And some relationships that were really, really fortunate that mm-hmm. were just dumb luck.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Relationships where people were, wasn't just a house and once every 5 years they get it painted or something
right.
like that.
Relationships that led us to some bigger commercial companies that we've continued to do work for. And that, even that was, we do a lot of work for a couple of the bigger kind of builders mm-hmm. in Madison that are doing these high rises and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. some of that was through, we did some free painting for Goodwill.
Okay.
If you want to hear a silly story, you asked about when we first started hiring.
Yeah.
I had two painters ever, and someone from Goodwill called me and said, we have a recovery house that we really want to get painted. This probably doesn't feel like the coolest thing to you. I'm wondering if you can donate the paint and the mm-hmm. time. It would be all free, but I'm happy to put your logo on our website.
Sure.
And I thought to myself, absolutely no way.
All
right. This is awful.
Because the cost and the time and the opportunity cost.
Right,
sure.
Right. And I was really kind of young and immature.
Mm-hmm.
And we were starting to get work and be busy, but I said, you know what? I'll tell you what. I've got three people that I potentially want to hire.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I need two people.
Ah.
These people, I don't know what their experience is. And he said, we just really need the help. We're more concerned about the help and getting this brightened up for the people that are here.
Right.
And I said, if you let me bring these three people,
mm-hmm.
I will pay them. And it'll be kind of a trial for them. But I just want to be really up like open book about this.
Right.
They're not necessarily employees, but I want to.
Sure.
I want to help you, and then you can help me in this way. I can see which skills they have and
on the job interview.
Right. So we painted for 2 days, and I hired two of them.
Okay.
And one of the guys even said, hey, I'll come back tomorrow, and I want to volunteer my time, because he was kind of like helping this organization. So then I get a call from a big construction company. I don't know if I can say their name or not.
Sure.
So like Stevens Construction Company, I get a call from them, and they said, you did some work at Goodwill.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a new 7-unit building for Goodwill. The folks at Goodwill organization said that you'd done some work for them, so they wanted me to include you on the bidders list. Are you interested in that? And I said, yes, I'm interested in that. So just little things like that have allowed us to start to participate and do relationship with those bigger, you know, building relationships, commercial projects, things like that in town.
Okay. So that way you're not relying on the individual households. Not that those aren't desired, but the referrals that you're getting are people that can use you routinely.
Yeah. So, I think that especially now, you know, everyone's talking about who knows where the market's going.
Sure.
And when's the crash coming?
So far it's doing okay.
Right. I know. And how even today it is. And housing and all this stuff, like when's this bubble going to burst? And I think it's really important to go, we're over here doing commercial high rises and we're doing production painting and we're over here painting trim and kitchen cabinets and painting two bathrooms and a bedroom. And we're staying really diversified in that, you know, not all the eggs are in one basket. And while I can make hay while the sun's shining here, this is a cycle that we can participate in, benefit from. And then when it comes around in 8 more years, we can do it again. But it's here now, but I'm not putting everything in that basket.
Right. Totally understand.
Yeah.
That's smart. Yeah. Yeah. It's so interesting to compare you to some of the other painter people that I know.
Is that right?
That have been in business for decades, and they're essentially still them in their rusty truck.
The thing, too, though, is that I think, is a choice. I think some people...
Must be on some level.
If you ask, there are probably 2 or 3 other painters in Madison whom I deeply respect are industry peers, and I would have them in my own home to paint.
Mm-hmm.
Probably 3.
Okay. That's not many. compared to how many painters there are.
It's not. And I'm sure that I'm completely unaware of the amount of painting companies there actually are.
Sure. I can tell you from research, for calls on call with us trying to target them, there's a ton, and oddly enough, a great majority of them don't even have a web presence.
Right. And that might be fine for them.
Sure. Well, I don't even know. It's working on some level.
Well, I can tell you what, that the market's great right now. And if you're a painting company, you should be flush with good work.
Totally.
And it's not going to stay that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. The problem right now is people finding employees.
Right.
But that will not be a forever thing.
Additionally, if you're sitting here saying, I got this all figured out, the reason is because there's people knocking on your door left and right now.
Yep.
Because a lot of people don't have the availability or at least have the maturity or the knowledge that they can't take on another job.
Right.
Unless they say yes to everybody, that's a whole different set of problems.
Mm-hmm.
You'll end up making everyone mad by trying to please everybody.
Right.
But, you know, it's a good market right now. But back to the choice piece.
Yeah.
If you're the type that just, you're an artisan and you want to do the work and you want to be at every job and all that, that's absolutely great. And I think that's a choice for some people that they don't have the ability or the interest in managing others, which can be very frustrating.
Totally fair. On that level, I get it.
Yep.
Because I can understand there's essentially 3 headaches in business, right? Regardless of what business you have.
Yep.
And employees are probably 2 of those.
Yeah. To me, I think having employees can be the most rewarding, most fruitful thing.
Absolutely.
And it can also be the most stressful, most frustrating thing.
Yeah, totally agree.
But getting back to your point about smaller versus bigger companies, I was just really lucky to have a marketing and a business admin degree. I have a business admin minor, but a marketing degree.
Nice.
And so I have a little bit of a piece of understanding how business works.
Sure.
And I think a lot of people, and this goes for any trade, not just painters,
mm-hmm.
but you have a person who's a fantastic painter. You mm-hmm. have a person who's a fantastic carpenter, a really good plumber. Mm-hmm. They do the thing really well.
Mm-hmm.
They might not know process well. They might not be good at bidding and invoicing and managing work comp premiums when you start hiring people.
They're probably terrible at that.
So what I think happens to a lot of people is they start a business. They do the thing very well. They start to have more people that call them to do mm-hmm. that thing for them very well for money.
Mm-hmm.
And then they don't know how to deal with it all because they are not a business person.
Right.
They are a painter or a carpenter or a tradesperson.
Yes. It's plateau because their capacity is reached.
Right. You just
and they don't know how to go above that.
You just get to a diminishing return where you just go, I'm getting calls and I'm supposed to do an invoice, but I have to be painting right now because mm-hmm. I need this done by tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I was absolutely there. It's
sure.
like you can't be doing the planning and growing the relationship and doing the thing at the same time.
Right.
You can't.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely tried.
No. I was there too. It was a while ago, but
And you have to some extent. You got to wear all the hats at some point and then to sort of start to shake all that out and figure out how to push through that phase where it's really expensive to bring on the extra stuff to start building that foundation as a springboard for what you're planning.
Right.
A lot of that problem for us was we didn't know what we were planning.
Ah, okay. That's fair.
You know, like
that's
it's growing. It's great. It's growing. Sure. It's great. Is that good? Is that not good? I don't know.
Right.
What do we want?
There's also, you mentioned the expense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Employees cost money. Any other, like an accountant's going to cost you money. Any outside help at all is going to cost something.
Correct.
Money, probably some time.
Yep.
And they're going to ask you to make some decisions. You know, good or bad or whatever. Like, hey, when do you want to meet for the little tax meeting with your accountant? I don't have time for that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's opportunity costs that you're like, oh, I won't be able to paint then.
Right.
Because I have to meet with my accountant.
Right.
So then I'm losing the money.
Your meter's running.
Right.
Yeah.
So I totally understand where people have that, I want to say fallacy, where I have to work as much as possible so that I can maintain.
Right.
But realistically, your accountant's probably going to find you 2 weeks worth of volume in dollars that you didn't have to work for.
Right. Right.
So, yeah, it's so bizarre how many, I don't know, maybe bizarre is the wrong word. I'll say frustratingly bizarre.
Okay.
Meeting some companies in just service industries as a whole, well, any industry as a whole, where they run into that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just this common pitfall that the new entrepreneurs see. And it's weird because people like you and me are more than willing to help meet with people and just say, hey, this is what's going to happen.
Yep.
You know, maybe not today, but maybe within a year or something like that, if you actually do grow, that this isn't a secret.
Right.
It's not like, holy cow, this is the first time that anyone's have a business that actually used up all their time and they didn't know what to do.
Right.
Next. What?
Yep. Right.
No one ever saw that coming at all.
Exactly.
So, I mean, help is available, but then it comes down to, are you willing to ask for help and are you willing to receive help? Things of that nature.
Yep.
So, yeah. Interesting conundrum. So
yes, it is.
That's awesome.
It's never ending.
So I want to talk to you, I guess, jumping in the marketing game a little bit. You got the handprint, free logo. You got that
That's
on all your cars and all that kind of stuff.
Yep, all consistent. This shirt, the font is a little different. And we did this because one of my project managers, Ben, he's a bit of a designer and likes to do computer design and web design, stuff like that.
Oh, nice.
And so these were like limited edition manager design shirts.
Sure.
So he had a little bit of fun with that, which was cool because it's another skill of his. And he can... exercise that, you know, kind of scratch that itch within the context of his job too.
Sure. No, so how did you decide on that? Because I know the consistency is fantastic.
Thanks.
I mean, from a marketing point of view, I come from a graphic design background.
It's easy.
That was the name of the game, right?
Right.
Make whatever you're going to make in regards to logo and font and all that jazz, but then do it everywhere.
Yeah.
Don't switch it around.
So the way that this happened is not profound.
Okay.
It's a simple story,
usually,
but it's not
isn't.
Really like it wasn't awesome. But it worked.
People put a bunch of crosses in churches, and it was just two guys nailing some wood together.
There you go. Well, so this, first of all, my wife and I were sitting down, and I had this business going for about 2 years.
Okay.
And it had my name, and it said Braun Interior Painting with a phone number.
Okay.
And that was limited already because we do outside work now.
Sure.
So we were trying to come up with a brand and a logo, and we had just got a truck, and it was like, we need to figure this out.
Right.
And so... we knew that a picture of a paint can dripping over the edge or a paintbrush that had paint dripping over the edge and landing somewhere saying, I am going to make a mess of your home was not where we wanted to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
A And that's not to pick on any other logos, but to me, that just always said dripping, oozing, like I'm going to make a mess, you know? But I'll say Sherwin-Williams logo is the same, and they're one of the most recognizable brands in the world. So
it's consistency.
So
there you go.
Right. Yep. So they probably know more than me. But this was fun. It was playful. We liked the play of the royal blue. This is heathered, so it's not technically our brown painting Pantone blue.
Sure.
But we liked the orange hand over blue. We liked the way it looked. We liked the way it stuck out. And it felt playful. It could have been your hand dipped in paint.
Sure.
Or it was just kind of like the hand is a really personal thing.
Right.
And it, but it's fun and playful. And then we wrote the brown painting straight over it, and it was originally pink, and then it changed to orange, and that was it. And it cost us, I think, $32 on logomaker.com.
Okay. Nice. Yeah. So, okay, so that's not like your kid's hand or your hand or your wife's hand.
I would love to tell you it was my firstborn kid's hand, and that's how it happened.
Right
and
at the moment that he came out, we dipped his hand in paint.
Yep, but that's not, that would be
dishonest. So that's just, okay, that's totally fine.
However, I think, and like I've talked with a couple, not to be braggadocious, but I've talked with a couple other people that we've done work for as clients, and they're like, just as an FYI, my background's design, I really like your logo. It just really works. And so I think that instead of taking all the credit for that, I'll say, number one, my wife loved the idea for the hand. But I think we just lucked into it.
Sure. That's all right.
We lucked into it, and it's a logo that people really like.
Yeah.
But it was dumb luck.
I tell you, it's good. I mean, I like it. I come from a graphic design background. I like it because it's... I remember seeing the handprint, and I was like, oh, what does that mean? They're messy? But then on the flip side, you're thinking, what if they weren't?
Right.
Like, if I ever saw... it's funny, side tangent here, right?
Right, yeah.
I was watching one of those car fix-it shows, like overhauling or something like that.
Yeah.
And this mechanic comes from under the car, and they're telling you about the transmission they threw in the car. This mechanic is spotless.
Right.
No greasy hands. And I'm like... I was a mechanic for 5-6 years, whatever. And I was like, there's no way that you just put a transmission in that car.
Right, absolutely not.
Because you'd be covered head to toe in grease.
Yeah.
You'd be swearing. And you'd have tools around you. Like, it was just too pristine.
Yeah.
Right? You never see a doctor come out of surgery with clean hands, right?
No. That would be inconsistent with your expectations.
Yeah. And the right. You hope that they're not, right? You probably got blood on your hands somehow if you're digging in my body, right? So.
Right.
The assumption that a painter doesn't have paint on them somehow, I would assume they're doing it wrong.
Yeah. I mean, I think you got to wear some to some extent, but that's actually, it's funny you say that because we're trying to work toward not saving money on shirts.
Sure.
But again, how everything's presented, how clean could we actually be?
No, that's totally true. Because when
while
I was a mechanic,
doing our work.
Yeah, when I was a mechanic, we had these, we're supposed to look like a pit crew. It was Penske way back before they folded. And they had, it was really nice, red shirts, black pants, and it looked good, but that was the thing, right?
Right.
Those things show grease. When I had the printer repair company, I was making my technicians, I was considering them different levels where they were at, and the top ones, I made them wear white shirts, so that they didn't, so that when they ended up with the ink on them, it was kind of like a badge that they had to walk around with all day.
Yeah.
So then they, instead of just, oh, it's a black shirt, no big thing, with a white shirt, they actually had to consciously, it was just clean was in their mentality. Knowing full well that some machines are going to get dirty.
But if you're being mindful of trying to keep yourself clean, even while you're doing a thing like painting, wouldn't we be a little more mindful of our process?
Absolutely.
From the lines to everything.
Absolutely.
We're just trying to think, not slowing down per se, but
just aware.
Just being aware.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. If I'm caulking a gap on trim and then putting nail holes and then priming and painting it, do I need to wipe the residual caulk every single time I'm putting a bead on my shirt?
Sure, right.
What does that look like? Could I hang a rag right here and have a clean shirt? So that goes into this piece of not the best, because the best to me is a target, and it suggests that you've figured everything out.
Sure.
I don't love that, because we're just always improving. But to be set apart.
Right.
Oh my gosh, these painters have like hardly any paint on their shirt. But look at them go. I mean, they're working. That'd be pretty cool.
It'd be fantastic, right?
I think it'd be really hard, but it'd
definitely
be really cool.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, the presentation piece, you guys take to an awesome level. So that's awesome. Well done on that.
Well, thanks.
I do have a couple more questions for you. I know we're running out a little bit of time here. Or a lot of time, really.
I can't believe it's been that much time already.
It goes fast,
it
doesn't
does.
It? Yeah. Something to be said about no commercials.
No kidding.
What advice would you give to someone that was considering starting their own business?
Their own business of any kind or their own painting
any
business?
Kind.
Ah, that's a really good question. I don't mean to pause too much. Make sure that you really, really want to do it.
Okay.
And really check yourself to make sure that you have got the grit to grind through the stuff that you don't know,
mm-hmm.
but that you have certainty that you're going to work through it no matter the problem.
Sure. That's awesome.
A lot of people have really good ideas.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to say, I'm here and I want to get there, and I don't know how to do that, and that, but I do know how to do that.
Sure.
To be able to say, this is going to be uncomfortable and I may not love it, but mm-hmm. I'm going to push through that and figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Just make sure that you're willing to do that.
Interesting. I like that. I got two things to say on that. One is I had someone tell me that they said, I'm an idea man.
Oh, that's scary.
And I'm like, that's worthless. Mm-hmm. Without implementation, you're just a dreamer.
Right.
So it's funny. And then on the other one, I have the little mantra that's I always win.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes when my wife challenges me on that, that's fair, where I don't always win with her.
Right.
But generally speaking, and everywhere else, as long as you have that mindset that you're going to win, you do.
Yeah, and to your point too, I think that the process is more a determinant of success than potentially the idea in a lot of circumstances. Oh, absolutely.
1,000 times over. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Really quick, what have been some of the challenges that you've run into that you didn't expect to over the course of 11 years?
Not understanding. Again, this goes to something comes up and mm-hmm. you don't know what's going to happen and you work through it anyway.
Yeah.
You just can't. It's so cliched, but you can't always know what you don't know going into starting a business.
Absolutely.
And as you scale with employees,
mm-hmm.
there are things like work comp premiums. And you mm-hmm. go, okay, we were paying a premium based on $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
And our payroll all of a sudden went from that to $250,000. And then mm-hmm. you get a bill for your work comp premium after your, you know, to catch that up.
Sure.
And so then you're behind the eight ball for a year or two, three. Catching.
Sure.
And that's fine. And financially, everything's great. But to say there are lessons in, there are things that you're not going to know, that you're not going to plan for. That was one of the challenges is as you scale with employees.
Right.
And as a side tangent, every one of the people that do work for us are payrolled employees.
Mm-hmm.
They are on workman's comp. They are insured.
Okay.
All of this
subs
business.
No subs or anything like that.
Exactly right. So.
Right.
They're all payrolled employees, and the reason that we set it up that way
mm-hmm.
is because we can control training and discipline,
mm-hmm.
and we can treat everybody equally.
Sure.
When it comes to reviews, when it comes to influencing behavior, all that stuff, that you just can't do that with a subcontractor.
No.
And a lot of painters do, quote unquote, subcontract someone who they then pay 40 hours a week to work for them every day.
Right. Right.
That's a whole different problem, and hopefully they never run into that, but that could be disastrous for them down the road. But that kind of stuff, you know, drawing a line and saying, this is so much more expensive. I could put X percent more dollars in my pocket tomorrow
mm-hmm.
If we set it up this way.
Mm-hmm.
But to hold the line and say, you know what, if we have a vision for the future of what we really want to do, this has to be done this way, and it
mm-hmm.
has to be done correct, and it costs a little bit more.
Right.
So meandering through that and the HR and the employee issues that can come up,
mm-hmm.
It's I've learned just as much as anyone else has.
Sure.
And it's not, I'm not there. I mean, but we're just improving
no.
process.
No. None of us are. It's
right.
like men understanding women or women understanding
right.
men. Just
yeah.
solving the employee thing is just not going to happen.
No, it's not.
100% anyways.
Exactly right. But you can pick up some really good lessons that give you some metrics where you go.
Absolutely.
That goes bad. I can see that. I've read this book before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've seen it happen. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the secrets to success that you've picked up along the way?
It's all about being able to have a decent amount of social intelligence to know what people really want from you.
Mm-hmm. Elaborate on that a little bit, because there's probably some people.
To me, it's like reading the tea leaves behind people's words.
Sure.
Because I don't remember what it is, but it's like 7% of our communication right now is verbal,
mm-hmm.
and the rest is our inflection, and the rest is our body language and all
yep.
that stuff. This is why
mm-hmm.
text messages go bad for so many people, because they don't
quickly.
Really know what people mean.
Yes.
But to me, it's not only me understanding what someone's really asking for, no matter their words,
mm-hmm.
with their body language and all that stuff, to get to the bottom of what problem are they really trying to solve, or what
mm-hmm.
am I really here to do for them,
mm-hmm.
and then building a culture around that stays palpable to our clients and customers.
Sure.
That they still develop that muscle to
mm-hmm.
to serve a space or serve a situation.
Yeah.
And have the sort of the social IQ to know what to do with that.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Do you hire for that as well?
When I hire for that, it's usually a person who doesn't know how to paint but possesses that. If
okay.
someone is humble, hungry and smart,
mm-hmm.
then we want to take them on. And smart is the emotional intelligence.
Sure. Piece. Oh, that's awesome. That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Ha. So what's up for the next 11 years of Braun painting?
Basically just, going? I would like to be, well, getting back to mission and vision. Mm-hmm. So our mission every day is to create the very best possible experience or an awesome experience for mm-hmm. our employees and customers.
Awesome.
And so in our vision for the future, without putting dollars and cents on it,
sure.
is to sort of lift or raise the standards of the painting industry in our community.
Okay.
One Braun painting project at a time to show people how well it actually can go.
Sure.
To show what a great, fantastic experience that can actually be.
That sounds like an uphill but worthwhile battle.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. Yeah.
Super cool. You have a website?
Our website is braunpainting.com.
Okay, and it's Braun.
Painting.
Painting.com. Awesome. Right. And how about a phone number?
My number is 608-770-1070.
Awesome. Thanks, Mike. This has been a blast.
You bet. Thank you.
Well, been a blast on my end. I'm assuming you had fun,
Absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely. Thanks.
This has been Authentic Business Adventures, a business program that brings you the struggle, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kademan, business coach at Draughton Customers Business Coaching, co-owner of Calls on Call, Shared Receptionist Services, and author of the Bold Business Book. It happens to be available on Amazon. We'd like to thank you, our wonderful listeners, and our guest, Mike from Braun Painting. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a blast. I love that you use the word experience when talking about the painting project.
Yeah.
Instead of just the end project or project.
It's actually all it is.
Yeah. Name of the game. It's fantastic. That's why I like having guests like you on. Find us airing on 103.5 Wednesdays at 1 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m., as well as at sunprairiemediacenter.com. It's for you people with websites, right? Past episodes can be found morning, noon, and night at the podcast link on drawincustomers.com. Thank you for listening. We will see you next week. I want you to stay awesome. And if you do nothing else, enjoy your business.